Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. Here at Barefoot is Legal Radio, we talk about general health benefits, support, and other aspects of living the barefoot lifestyle. When you are somebody that lives, you know, the barefoot lifestyle, however that may look for you, this is not a one-size-fits-all journey or experience by any means. It is definitely something that is a journey that is individual to each person. You're never really going to meet two people that have the same barefooting journey because you're never going to meet two people that have the same mind, that have the same body, that have the same life experiences. And, you know, even when you can get really close to that, however close you may get to finding that, it doesn't matter. You're still your own individuals. You're still your own people, and there are still going to be their own differences. And it's important to understand that although, you know, there can be that sense of community and understanding with each other, you know, with that common, you know, ground of barefooting, we're all still our very own individuals, our very own people. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, don't compare your journey to anyone else's. Everyone's journey is going to look different, and that goes to all aspects of life. But people barefoot for all kinds of reasons, and, you know, a lot of these main reasons, you know, have to do with health. And, you know, there's so many different aspects of health in which why people barefoot. There's mental health, there's physical health, and then there's even the more emotional parts of health, and with trauma processing, there are so many different ways in which barefooting is just so crucial in terms of health and physical well-being. People often barefoot for different chronic illnesses, disabilities, mobility issues. However, people feel comfortable identifying, or, you know, however you feel that what labels, you know, speak for your condition. You know, there is definitely a role that barefooting plays. Even for people that don't have mobility issues, being barefoot and having much more free range mobility with your joints and with your feet, and our feet being our foundation, you know, this is just a way in which people can enrich their lives through barefooting, and often do. He doesn't barefoot all the time because of his job, but he does barefoot or wears barefoot like sandals. I can't remember which brand he uses, but it's one of the ones I know that Audrey has recommended. I don't remember if it's Vibram or if it's one of the other brands. I can't remember, but anyway, you know, he uses these barefoot shoes, whatever, I don't know what you call them, or he will barefoot, and, you know, he doesn't have, he doesn't have, you know, disabilities or, you know, illnesses or mobility issues for why he barefoots, but he barefoots because it is, you know, healthier for better mobility and better range of mobility, and I always forget that he's one of these people that does that. Barefooting definitely plays a role, whether it is, barefooting definitely plays a role with our physical health, whether that be due to mobility issues, disability, chronic illnesses, or, you know, just wanting to enrich your health. If you're already a healthy person or a fairly, you know, averagely healthy person, you know, there are still benefits in which barefooting can help reduce stress and really help with stress reduction. And there are ways in which this can help with the nervous system. There are ways in which this can improve range of mobility. And it's definitely a different type of – sorry, my throat. Let me take a drink of water real quick. My voice is all over the place. But definitely being barefoot is definitely a different experience than wearing shoes, with how your muscles engage, Every year, for me personally, having to wear shoes more in the winter and when it's colder, temperatures, I definitely do experience this kind of, getting back into it, of course, with, like, of course, the calluses on your feet, you know, building up tolerances in other ways. But it's not even just that. It's, like, you're definitely engaging the muscles in a whole different kind of way when you are barefoot and when you are wearing shoes. And I think that anyone who, you know, has experienced that and, you know, barefooting and, actually barefooting, if that makes sense, and then also, you know, wearing shoes, you can definitely feel the difference. And I think other people that, you know, may be, you know, transitioning or have had transitioned with, with the seasons and stuff with their feet, kind of regaining what they lost from the winter, if you had to wear shoes more or whatever. And we did think we have a pretty mild winter, but for me personally, with, like, having temperature sensitivity issues and how that affects my muscles, definitely can be very frustrating. And there's other sensory issues, as well. Wet socks makes me want to scream and cry. But then, you know, sometimes I have to have socks on. It's a whole thing, and that's my own experience, whatever. But, I'm not going to get too much into all, that, but it's definitely a transition, you know, if you wore shoes throughout the winter, or even if you didn't wear them the entire winter, because I would say there were definitely times I didn't wear them, like, the entire winter, but even if you're wearing them at all and just transitioning to, going to full barefooting, I started coughing, then I muted myself before I got started. Clear my throat. But it's definitely a transition. You're definitely engaging your muscles in a different way. And the person who I was talking about before, he doesn't have physical health issues to why barefoot to be barefoot, just because it's healthier and it's, like, better for your body and, like, engaging with the muscles and working out the muscles. I remember having a conversation with him about this, and, he was talking about, we were just having a general conversation about how, like, you engage with your muscles more, it's better for your joints, it's better for your range of mobility, and when you have better engagement with your feet and you're, strengthening the muscles better in your feet, stronger foundation, that's just going to help your body in general. Because the other thing, too, if you have weaker muscles in any area, this is going to cause other muscles to have to overwork. And often, too, the way shoes are designed, people are not fully engaging, their ankles and just their feet in general. And honestly, we have the most bones in our feet than, like, really any particular area in our body. So there's a lot going on there. We also have more nerves in our feet that have a lot to do with all kinds of different processes and things in the body. So our pituitary gland, which has a lot to do with, like, the lymphatic system, there's also different esoteric and spiritual concepts and ideas around the pituitary gland, which is also connected to the third eye. And what's interesting, too, is, like, third eye does, that part of our head does still perceive light. And so there's a lot of very interesting things around it, that's something that you're interested in, definitely look into it. But there are just different glands in general that our feet are connected to. And so it's really important for, muscles and, having just good muscle health, if that makes any sense, what I'm saying. My brain's messy today, but when isn't it? But also with, like, draining and clearing out, the lymphatic system, the feet are a really crucial place with that. And it's interesting because not even just, like, I've talked to, I have this electric body massager thing that I use, for my muscles. It's really important. And, and I use it, on my feet a lot, and it does really help, with my feet, especially with the winter. If you're wearing shoes, your muscles are going to get more cramped. So it's something that definitely helps be able to loosen those muscles without putting too much strain on my hands, but it'll also heavy, it's its own thing. But I think it's really important for people to be aware of just knots and tightness in the muscles in their feet and how their feet can become so tight. And I think a lot of people don't even realize how tight their feet are, but I'll definitely see a difference in the way that my feet look. They'll be very, almost, they'll be a lot more compact. in a lot of ways. And then once, you know, I'm able to loosen up those muscles, it's like my feet just spread out more. And it sounds crazy. And so people are often afraid, like, you know, of their feet getting lighter, or people often talk about how it's unhealthy for their feet to get lighter, or even to appear longer, you know, from barefooting and things like that, because they're not wearing shoes, they're not cramping them into their shoes. And even just, I see a difference with, like, using a massager with, like, the tightness of my feet. And I think it's really important for people to be aware of the muscles in their feet and what that, you know, does for the rest of their body and what that can do for the rest of your body. I would say it's especially important if you have disabilities and mobility issues, different conditions that, you know, just have to do with your feet or your body, muscular issues, bone issues, anything like that. I think for sure anything that condition with mobility, it is especially important to be aware of your feet and to be aware of the muscles in your feet and be aware of, you know, how tight your feet are, you know, and being aware of how shoes can cramp your feet in. But I do think it is something important for all people. And unfortunately, it's hard because a lot of people with their jobs, they don't really have a choice with wearing shoes. I especially understand, you know, there can be a lot of safety concerns. Different people have different jobs in which it can genuinely be a safety hazard for them to be barefoot. Well, other people have jobs where, you know, it's more of it's a policy. They have to follow the policy to keep their job, and there are, you know, different social rules and contexts around these policies for them as an employee. But as any customer, patron, any guest in any kind of restaurant, store, it doesn't matter if it's owned by a small business, they are open to the public. Any place that is open to the public, it is your legal right to be able to barefoot if you choose. This is not something that people can stop you from doing. That would be discrimination. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. And yes, that includes restaurants. Yes, that includes small businesses or any establishment that is owned by a small business or a small enterprise of some kind. It doesn't matter. That is still your legal right. Now, with different things that have private memberships, there can be some more messier rules because they're a place that is a private membership. So something that, you know, you pay to be able to be a part of, to have an ongoing membership to this institution, something like that. They can have some policies against barefooting, but in order for them to legally be able to have policies against barefooting, they have to be rules and policies that make sense. And that's why often in places like where you'll have some kind of showering, like a gym facility or something like that, you'll probably see a sign that says something about, you know, wearing shoes and stuff like that. And that's because of, like, you know, they're putting signs like this, you know, for their own, and for part of it is for their own sake, right, to make sure they're legally covered in case that you get like a foot fungal infection or some kind of bacterial infection, you know, from being barefoot in the shower or something like that, you know. But the reason why they're legally allowed to have this is because it is something that is within the best interest of public safety, you know. So, but obviously I've never heard of anybody, you know, going in and enforcing these rules, especially because that just gets into so many issues of boundaries and legal issues with trying to enforce, you know, in showers, people wearing shoes. Like, how would you monitor that without that becoming a problem, you know, potentially? I have to cough and clear my throat. I'm going to mute it real quick. I don't want y'all to, like, listen to that. Excuse me, sorry. but at the same time, you know, if you are somebody that needs to barefoot for different disability reasons, chronic health conditions, chronic illnesses, whatever that may be, the ADA does recognize barefooting as a legitimate accommodation and accessibility right for chronic illness. Chronic illnesses, disabilities, and health conditions in which barefooting is needed. So this is still, you know, something that you can work around. I definitely recommend checking out barefootislegal.org. I really just need to open it every day. Sometimes I have it open way to the show, sometimes I don't. Give me 1 second. Make sure I do it. Yeah. If you go under, in the menu section, once you're at the webpage, if you go under laws or education, either one, if you hover over those little things in the menu bar, now if you click on each of them, like the menu in particular, it is going to take you to an individual page for each one. If you just click on laws or education, but if you hover over it, either one, laws or education, there is going to be a download section. You can just hit click downloads. One second. Okay. And you'll have the health department section. So these are where, like, health departments have been contacted, mentioned, and this is proof that there are from the health department in these different states. And there's also in Canada, British Columbia, and I guess one from Spain, where it shows that there are no laws there are no health codes from the health department regarding barefooting. But all other 50 states, there are no even mentions of it at all. So these are different mentions of it, in which I guess there were issues in which people had their own personal issues where they had to they had their own personal issues of discrimination, so they had reached out to get confirmation that, yeah, there is no issue. So if you had issues in these states, like, there is confirmation that, you're not breaking any health codes, but it is still, again, there are no health codes in any of the 50 states. That is still a thing, but these are just issues in which we know of and have documented that people haven't been harassed and had to, discrimination, had to reach out to get that confirmation that, no, they weren't doing anything wrong. So you can, and so if you're one of those areas where you've had issues, you can get that documentation for yourself. But there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. That is your right. You're not doing anything wrong. Now, under the health code department section, there is an ADA card section, and you can have one of those cards. My laptop, for some reason, does not like loading the actual card, but my phone, I am able to. But I actually have a screenshot in my camera roll. So if you want to even check it out on your phone at barefootislegal.org, you could check it out and get a screenshot on your phone. I'm actually trying to go through and find it because I had went ahead and taken a screenshot of it. Because I was going to a concert and I wanted to be barefoot the whole thing. And I was like, I don't even have to worry about carrying my shoes. I don't worry about losing them. It was a whole thing. And I knew that, and it was a smaller venue anyway. And I also knew that it is recognized by the ADA that there are no laws or health codes against, or not, oh my gosh, sorry. I'm just speaking. I think that was a little like filler in there with my brain. I already know that there are no laws or health codes, yes. But with it being, sometimes it's like private events, like concerts and like that, things can get messy. I paid and, you know, prepared a lot and drove, you know, and had, you know, there were things to get there. So I don't want to risk it, especially because I really only go to concerts for artists that I, you know, adore and really want to see. But what I meant to say was I know that the ADA recognizes that, and this is the ADA standing for the American Disability Act, and as well as the U.S. Department of Justice, they recognize barefooting as a legitimate accommodation and accessibility right for individuals that have medical and health reasons that need to barefoot, in which why they need to barefoot. I'm sorry, guys. This is, like, probably listening to chaos, but I had taken a screenshot because I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to print it off in time, so I might as well have a screenshot on my phone, and I shouldn't have any problems. Definitely recommend checking that out if you are somebody that has brain disabilities, chronic illnesses. And it can be definitely hard for people that have invisible disabilities that people don't always recognize or take seriously, but it's hard even if you do have a visible disability or a mobility device or mobility tool with you, you know, even if that creates some kind of visibility that would otherwise be invisible, there definitely can be a lot of frustration because people don't always understand it. But it can be hard because I also have my own reasons, like why I have to put on shoes sometimes when it gets colder, because of the way my body reacts to temperatures and the way my muscles react. And it's hard because it's like, although, yeah, that might help me, it's like barefooting is still really important and crucial for me. And I'm so glad to be able to get back into barefooting. It is great. I don't like to complain about it too much in the winter because it's like, I mean, I probably still did complain because, like, you know, I don't want to complain about it too much, but it can be frustrating. Even for myself and other people that might have certain reasons, whether that be due to sensory issues, muscle issues, the way those can play in together, or any other kind of issue in which they, can't barefoot. That doesn't mean that barefooting isn't something that they still miss or need or is crucial to them. Shoes definitely cause a lot of problems for me, even when I need to wear them, because it's like, I've got to weigh the scales. Although, you know, the outcome, you know, might be somewhat better for me to wear them for the effects of my whole muscles on my whole body when I get cold and everything locks up and it just sucks. Ugh. You know, although it may putting on the shoes might like outweigh all that when it's really cold, you know, I'm still going to have issues with my muscles and my feet and my bones and my joints. Like, there's still a cost. There's still a cost of putting on those shoes, even when it is the better option. But at the same time, having temperature sensitivity issues when it's hot out, having shoes can be really hard with my sensory issues. Being autistic, I literally wearing shoes sometimes, and also my ADHD as well, sometimes wearing shoes just makes me want to scream, especially when I get hot. And then when you throw in the pain and the mobility issues, it just makes me want to scream. I've got issues with, you know, I've got fibromyalgia, and I also have issues, and so I have caused issues with my muscles. I also have issues with my joints and my bone grinding, and I got scoliosis. I don't want to get into all of it. Anyway, and that's something I do like sharing my, you know, experiences to try to educate, but I know sometimes I can start info dumping one, but sometimes it's hard too because it's like I really don't always want to share all of it, but I feel like I have to because it's like people don't take these things seriously. And people don't understand the crucial role that barefooting plays in a lot of people's lives, especially if you have a disability or a chronic illness of some kind or just mobility issues. An injury even can cause issues, you know, even if it's something that's temporary, you know, that you can recover from and come back from, or if it's an injury that's going to affect you for the rest of your life, like whatever that may be, whether that, you know, any kind of thing, you know, there are car crashes, things like that, sports, I don't know. There's all kinds of things that unfortunately can result in injuries. And if you're unlucky, I guess, then that could be something that affects you. And I definitely, but there's also can be downsides where people, you know, with sensory issues, it can be a back and forth. You know, I'm thankful that my sensory issues aren't so bad that I feel like I have to wear shoes all the time. Because there are people in my life that I know or have sensory issues around wearing, around being barefoot that are so intense to them. So, you know, it can be definitely a one-size-fits-all, I said the complete opposite of what I want to say. It is definitely not a one-size-fits-all journey. This is an individualized experience because we are all individuals and our bodies are individualized. Even if you have some of or the same conditions as someone else, there's still a spectrum within those conditions and you're going to have different lives and there are no two identical people. Even identical twins do not often you can still tell some difference, right? Whatever. Besides that, they also don't live identical lives. And no, nothing is truly the same. As much as, and that can be very frustrating, right? It's very frustrating, lonely, when it's like, nobody understands me. But we're all living in that same kind of nutshell, that same truth. And I think that's the beauty in it, is that we can all learn from each other. We can all learn from each other's experiences, but we can also see a new perspective that we otherwise wouldn't see. And it can be hard because when we don't feel strong and confident, understood and validated and just like empowered within ourselves, it can be really hard to exist in spaces where we feel like we are too different, or we, you know, because then we feel alienated, especially if we have a personal history of being alienated. You know, those past experiences can really stick with us and affect our perceptions. And it can be very hard because barefooting is something that isn't really as accepted as it should be, but I have been noticing that it is becoming a lot more accepted, and it's a lot more just kind of there, just subtly, with no issue, no complaint, no comment in media, in art, and whether that be movies, shows, music videos, just like photography even, and in ways that are, and unfortunately, you know, there are so many like sexualizations around it, and people often can assume that it is, but even though, like, and I get it, unfortunately, there is a lot of things, people can also, you know, see too much on the internet, and just, that can then warp their perspective, you know what I mean, like, what is in your mind is what you can, what you've been introduced to, or even just stumbled across. Internet is a scary and beautiful place. It's complicated, right? I think when people have no other introduction to barefooting and then see things, sexual context around it, those, you know, those perceptions that they are seeing, and they don't see in other contexts, and, you know, if that's the only context they've seen it in, that's what they're going to apply to when they see it in other ways. But the media that I'm, you know, talking about, that I wish I could give better examples of, it's just casual life. There's no sexual context around it. And it's just them being barefoot. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's just people being free and being barefoot and living the way they want to live, living the way that we like to live. And I think it's hard when the way that we like to live is so stigmatized, so alienated, so misunderstood, so stigmatized, that people only see one side of it, and this is this misconception that they were introduced to, and then they apply it to everything else that they see that is similar, which ends up hurting people, which ends up alienating people, because no one is the same. None of our experiences are the same. And I think it's really important for us to just be understanding, compassionate, and loving with other people, and just take the time to listen and learn. Sorry, I had to clear my throat again. Sorry, I always, yeah, having chronic sinus issues, gross. And love my horrible allergies and the way that they are. I don't even know how to explain it. Anyway, but there are just so many aspects of barefooting and living our lives that are just so scrutinized, so misunderstood, and it's frustrating. Being someone, you know, who's just existing in the world, it can be hard. Like, it's hard to even talk about, because it's like being someone who's assigned female at birth, you are just trained from that birth to obsess over the way that you present to the world. And it can be very harmful and destructive of your sense of worth and self. And there have been in ways, even with when we are objectified and sexualized by other people, we are taught to carry this and be mindful and always so aware of this. And it makes you aware of how whatever you're wearing, however you're dressing, even being barefoot, is something that unfortunately people can leave, often feel like it's just left open to all kinds of sexual objectifications and sexualizations and demonizations that they place on you and then blame you for. And it's like, I didn't ask for this. I'm just existing, and I'm dressing how I want to dress. I'm, you know, my feet, or I'm wearing bare feet, like, you know, or I'm wearing bare feet. Fudge, sorry. Hope I have not been using any appropriate language that I'm supposed to not even be using on here. My brain is very goofy today. I'm doing my best. But, you know, I'm just barefoot. I'm not wearing shoes. You know, it can be really hard when there are those things, you know, put on us. And I know there have been, you know, even issues within the barefooting community, you know, around people misinterpreting, you know, each other misinterpreting, being, and we've all been misinterpreted ourselves often. I mean, I think it's important to understand that, what, you know, however people are wearing, whatever people are wearing, however they're dressing, you know, whether they're wearing shoes or not, who cares? These are people just expressing themselves and living their life. And not even necessarily just expressing themselves, just living their life how they feel comfortably. But definitely with fashion, that is a sense of self-expression. So just let's be a little more understanding with each other. Let's have a little more empathy and let's be more loving. And it is very frustrating, you know, because I know that there has been some kind of discourse issues, you know, in the barefooting community. I don't really want to get into it, but I just embrace each other with love and respect and understand that you may not know more about a person than you think you do. You know, may not know as much as about a person as you think you do. And leading with that is, you know, these misinterpretations, these misrepresentations of another person are deeply harmful and hurt people. They alienate people, and it can turn into a witch hunt that makes people feel unsafe. And I just want to put that out there. And I, given some circumstances and things, I don't really get on Facebook. It's, I got locked on my Facebook account, and it was a whole thing where they wouldn't let me make a new one. It was, I don't know. I hate technology. I hate the internet anyway. I say, as I'm here doing technically an internet show thing, whatever. It is what it is. But let's just be respectful of each other. You know, we've all been misunderstood just by being barefooters at some point. People are constantly in somewhere in the world misunderstanding and having these misconceptions and misrepresentations of barefooting that they can just misperceive and create in their head and lead with. And it's important to, one, as barefooters, if you're someone who's receiving this, just understand that it's okay. You're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. You're not breaking any health codes. It is your right to barefoot in public spaces. It is your right to be able to drive barefoot. It is your right to be able to go into restaurants barefoot, okay? You're not the one making the food. It's not like you're the one risking, you know, getting grease on, hot grease on your feet in the kitchen, okay? You're not the one that's preparing the food. If you are going to a restaurant, you are a guest, you're a patron. Obviously, treat workers with respect and dignity and class, okay? Don't come in there being rude and disrespectful. Okay, tree workers, like, they're people, just saying, just want to put that out there because some people don't, but at the same time, you know, you're there to sit there and enjoy your food, you're a guest, so it is your right to be barefoot if that's what you choose. You're not doing anything morally or legally wrong, so live your best barefoot lifestyle. You're not breaking any laws, you're not breaking any health codes, do what you want to do. And I think it's weird how there's this social morality almost, you know, it's like around barefooting where it's just like you're breaking some kind of social moral. And unfortunately, in psychology, yeah, you are to people because you're breaking a social norm. And unfortunately, social norms and the way that they exist, they're often kind of embedded within our value system and the way people place value, and that can translate to kind of these ideas of social morality. But why is it so wrong for you to take care of your body? Why is it so wrong for you to do that? Why is it so wrong for you to take care of your mental health, your emotional health? Because barefooting definitely plays a role in processing with healing and trauma and just keeping you in your body and pulling you in your body even when you don't feel like you're there. Even when you feel like you are so lost in your mind, it definitely is a way to help ground and pull you into your body. And that can be a really hard thing to experience and a hard thing to do. So barefooting definitely plays a role in helping keep you in your body. I find being in nature and being barefoot really crucial to dealing with and processing trauma. And there are other ways in which I do have to find ways of pulling me into my body and making me aware of my physical senses and this version of me, where I am in my life. And that can be very frustrating. But barefooting is something that still plays a role in it. I definitely recommend anyone who has PTSD or complex PTSD to barefoot. Sorry, my voice is, I don't really like to show emotion, but I guess talking about it gets me kind of a little emotional, even though I don't really want to get into it. So, you know, I definitely, if you are somebody that struggles with PTSD, complex PTSD, or just trauma, I definitely recommend trying barefooting. It is something that helps keep you in your body. It's something that helps ground you. And it's something that helps you feel safe and real and like you are a part of this timeline, this time and space. And I couldn't recommend it more. I'm going to run a quick ad break. I didn't run one for 2 o'clock anyway. Take a second to kind of collect my thoughts. And then we'll continue from there. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. If you want to check out barefootislegal.org during the ad break and you're able to, I'd recommend it. And, yeah, have fun doing that if you're able to. But otherwise, please be patient. We'll be back with the show in a little bit.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
I've heard stories from teachers in classes where their students are grounded that they have half the level of referrals for discipline. Some students who were in tears because they were experiencing success when before they were experiencing failure with their behavior and discipline. I've heard stories from teachers with autistic children who have been grounded where they have less of what they call the meltdowns. And the meltdowns are less frequent and shorter, and they come back into the classroom and they're learning more than they had learned prior to the grounding. It's amazing what happens, not just with the teacher at the front of the class, but what can happen with the student sitting in the class. And just think if every single student and every single teacher in every single classroom and every single school across this whole world was grounded.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty. beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. Here at Barefoot is Legal Radio, we talk about general aspects of living the barefoot lifestyle, giving support, encouragement, sharing the health benefits, and other aspects of living the barefoot lifestyle. This is not at all a one-size-fits-all journey. This is a very individualized experience, as we are all complex individuals with our own lives, bodies, experiences, even if you have the same reasons why you barefoot. That could be, physical reasons, they can even be more complex, for sure. There's mental health, there's physical health, and even within that, there's so many different facets of that. And even if you have the same conditions as somebody, again, you still are going to have completely different experiences of life and so many other factors within that. But even if you have the same conditions, there's still spectrums in which people are going to fall in different areas of those spectrums of those conditions, illnesses, disabilities, whatever it may be, whether that be mental health or physical health. People also barefoot for spiritual and religious reasons. But again, there are so many different spiritual and religious reasons in which people can barefoot, so many practices, faith, and so many different methods of incorporating barefoot, so many ways in which people can incorporate barefooting and also already do and have for centuries, millenniums really, incorporated barefooting into their spiritual practices and their belief system. And even if it's not something that's recognized in the entire religion or belief system or faith, this is something that is going to be an individual experience, so that can happen on an individual level. There might be this over-branching structure of a religion, but in terms of one's personal spiritual practices, their own personal, that faith, meaning, that trust and that belief in the religion, their own personal journey of that, these are separate things even within that are going to kind of define their spiritual journey and their spiritual practices and how they may incorporate barefooting into their lives. Even within a much bigger religious structure and a much bigger religion, there can still be all these differences in which people still practice differently. And, barefooting can play a role. But there are definitely religious structures in which barefooting does play a crucial role. and, you know, people barefoot for cultural reasons and heritage reasons, and those are very important things to be recognized as well. But again, there are so many different cultural and heritage reasons in which people may barefoot, and that's, none of these things are at all a one-size-fits-all journey, and it's going to look very different for every person, and that's your own journey to figure out. And, you know, there can be multiple reasons in which people barefoot. People can fall within all these categories. They can have multiple different things maybe in each category. We're all very complex individuals, and our experiences are very complex. Our belief systems, our sense of self is very complex, our identity, taking care of ourselves. But whatever your reason is for barefooting, you know, these are protected rights. So, you know, your physical health, your, and that includes mental health, you know, religion, spirituality, cultural, and heritage reasons. These are protected rights. But in general, it is still your right to be able to barefoot in public spaces. There are no laws or health codes prohibiting you from doing such. There are no laws or health codes banning you from barefooting, okay? The barefooting is your right. I want to make sure I use the right word, though. Hold up. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did use. I just sometimes was like, yeah, prohibiting was the word I was looking for, right? Sometimes I can never tell if my apraxia is speech. But because I'll just sometimes fill in random words. And what I mean, if it's like sounds close enough syllable-wise. But there are so many different reasons why people barefoot. And whatever your reasons are, that is valid. Your experience is valid. Your journey is valid. However much you're able or want to barefoot, that's valid. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. You don't have to prove your barefooting. Just do what is right for you. Listen to your body. Take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Unfortunately, we don't prioritize that enough in our society. And unfortunately, a lot of people can't. And unfortunately, they don't really have a choice because of the structures and social dynamics within our society that people just aren't able to. And that really goes back to the fact that people's physical health isn't valued. If that was something that was really deeply embedded within our culture, our politics, our social dynamics, then we wouldn't have half or most of the problems and issues we do, and that cause people to endanger their health and their well-being further. It's very frustrating. And I just hope that one day we really have a system in which we really see each other valuing our health and body and safety. And it can be very hard when given the world we live in. But I want everyone to know that I personally, Phoenix, and so many other people, you know, here at Barefoot is Legal, you know, that's why Barefoot is Legal exists. You know, we believe that your health and safety matters, that doing what is important for your health and safety, that matters, and that you should do what is important for your health and safety. So if barefooting is something that improves your health and safety, you know, here's your validation. Like, and I mean that in the most loving way possible. Like, go do it. It is your right to barefoot. You're not breaking any laws or health codes. You're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. Like, you do you, okay? You know, you have that right, but also, you know, it is important for you to take care of your body, take care of yourself, take care of your mental health, take care of your physical health, take care of your spiritual health, take care of your emotional health. You know, just take care of yourself. And if barefooting is something that helps you live authentically and truly to yourself and take care of yourself, then that is something that is important and matters. And that is something that there should be no issue in you doing, from other people. People, you know, should respect that. But it's frustrating, unfortunately, because people are always going to have a problem with something. People are always going to be annoyed with something. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day what you do, unless you live in exactly within what other people think and how you should be living. you're always going to be upsetting somebody. And you're never going to live exactly to what people think, you know. But the people who love you and support you and care about you, they're going to give you that permission and acceptance to live without putting these rules on you that hurt you. And this is not the same thing as having boundaries, of course. Everyone is entitled to their boundaries. Everyone is entitled to their, you know, right of safety and health, like we've been talking about. So, you know, of course, people need to be able to set their boundaries for, you know, their sense of safety and health. But people who really love and accept you are going to accept you for who you are. And they're not going to put unnecessary, arbitrary rules on you to socially perform in a way that is inauthentic to yourself. And at the same time, you know, again, going back to the boundaries, you're allowed to have boundaries that around your health and safety. If barefooting is something that is crucial to you, if having your disabilities or whatever reason is in which why you barefoot, having those things respected, you know, that is something, and only engaging in which they are respected, that is something that is a boundary of yourself, that is rooted in safety and health. So allow yourself to have that. You know, allow yourself to have your right to safety and health. Wherever you are, wherever you may be, it is your right to safety and health. And no one can take that away from you. No one can judge you for that. And there is no judgment for that. And just know that, you know, wherever you are in your body, even if you're up in your head, even if you're just stuck there and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, it feels like you're floating through space. In time, sometimes, I don't know, maybe it doesn't for some of y'all, I don't know. You know, being able to be barefoot, it can really help pull you back into your body and just know wherever you are, you might be floating in that time and space up in your head, and just know that you still have your right to safety in your body, safety in your mind, emotional safety, and whatever other forms of safety that exist. You have the right to that, and you have your right to your boundaries to reinforce your sense of safety. And you don't owe anybody anything. You don't owe an explanation to your right to safety. You don't, you know, and it's hard because at the same time in social context, we often don't really get that. You know, we still have to kind of put in situations in which we have to explain. You know, when people are harassing you in a store or something about your barefooting, you often have to kind of give something just so that the situation doesn't escalate or so that way you are respected. And it's very frustrating. But I want people to know that within you and within what is, you know, right, you deserve what you deserve. You don't owe these strangers a window into your life. You know, I do think it is important, you know, in order to have healthy relationships, you know, of course, you know, when setting boundaries, it can be important to have, you know, kind of engagement, you know, allow someone to ask questions that they understand, go to have a conversation around it. And I think that's very, you know, important. But when you're engaging in public and you're in public spaces with strangers, people that you have no social connection to, and who feel that they are entitled to that, you know, part of you, it's bullcrap. You are entitled to your sense of existence, and you don't have to explain that to other people. But again, with that being said, unfortunately, when you are confronted, you kind of have to explain. So I usually go with, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. I'm not doing anything legally wrong. I'm not breaking any health codes. You're actually breaking the law by trying to discriminate against me for being barefoot when it is my American right. Now, sometimes I'll, you know, even add, and, you know, I also barefoot for just my own disabilities, and the ADA and the U.S. Department of Justice recognize barefooting as a legal and legitimate accommodation and accessibility right for chronic illnesses, disabilities, and health conditions. So you are not only discriminating against me for being barefoot, but you're also discriminating against my, you know, disability rights. And, you know, and just giving that information, and I would try to do that in a kind way. Now, you know, be within your body, be within yourself, be empowered within yourself. But at the same time, it's really important to try to handle things as calmly as you can and handle them as rationally and logically as you can. Because unfortunately, if we give too much of our emotions that we are definitely entitled to, and we show too much of that, people who are already looking for someone to come out, already feel like we're doing something wrong, they often feel justified. You know, they often feel justified in coming at us in the first place, and we're just trying to defend ourselves, right? We're just trying to. So definitely try to, you know, step into that higher self, that sense of strength the best you can. You know, you just try to take a deep breath and just focus on my feet that are touching the ground. You know, I'm still touching, my feet are still touching the earth, even if I'm inside somewhere, you know, just trying to breathe and relax and just kind of focus on that. Just take a second. And it's something to practice, but since this is something that I practice when I'm, you know, on my own and in a safe place, it can be easier to kind of practice and kind of snap back into that when I'm in a place and I'm dealing with confrontation. So it's important to remember that coping skills and techniques are things you have to practice, so that way when it is needed the most, it's going to pull through. And in order for these things to pull through when you need them the most, you have to practice them in other areas of your life and in moments when you don't need them as strongly, you know. Or in places where you are safe to practice them instead of trying to just bottle it up till you break. And which is a really hard thing to do. I've been, you know, I've been on this lesson my whole life, you know. It's hard to always understand ourselves, know what we need to regulate ourselves, especially if you weren't permitted to do so or taught to do so as a child. So you have to take the control and take the reins of that in adulthood. You know, it is something to practice. And barefooting is something that I definitely incorporate in different grounding practices, in different just growth practices as well. But just take a second to breathe, you know, and focus on the fact that I am so grounded, the earth, just coming back into my body and trying to remain calm. But stay strong within yourself. Stay strong within yourself and know that you are strong and you have this right, this, you're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. There's nothing, you know, that this person can really do, which is hard because at the same time, people are crazy and you never really know what anyone's going to do. And it can be really hard to balance that, being in your body and feeling empowered, especially if you have trauma and also dealing with the reality that people are crazy and people have free will. It's, you know, it's a hard reality of things to balance. But I think acting like it's, you know, one or the other, or only talking about one and neglecting the other, you know, it's, we're not fully looking at reality. And I think it just ends up leading to more invalidation when you only, you know, talk about kind of like the good aspects and of things. Let me clear my throat again. So it can be really hard to balance. You know, when you feel empowered within yourself, you feel strong, you feel confident, you feel good within your body. Yes, you may come off to some people, you know, who are threatened by that, you know, like they might have a problem. You might come off a certain way. But, and these are, you know, people who, you know, again, want to control you, manipulate you. But when you're truly confident and strong within your body and within yourself, that is when we are able to be the most gentle and be able to have the most control over ourselves and the responses and things happening within our bodies. This, you know, we can't really fully help trauma responses, triggers, but when we're able to, you know, have spaces, we're able to kind of, you know, empower ourselves, or, you know, where we put in work to be able to empower ourselves, it's going to be a lot easier to be able to, you know, overcome these trauma responses or anxiety or whatever. When you have practice in managing them, it's going to be easier to manage them. And so anybody who's also learning to manage these things, understand that it is a process. It is a journey. Be patient with yourself. Love yourself and know that it's not going to be perfect every time, and it is a process. But I'm not sure where we're going with this. It can be really important to, when we're the most strong, confident, right, in ourselves, that is when we're able to be the most gentle and calm. We have the most control over ourselves. That is when we are able to be strong and soft. That is when we were able to be, you know, just have this sense of strength and so loving. Like, when we feel broken within, we don't feel like ourselves. That is when, you know, we either become too defensive and we allow things to escalate in a way because we're putting out crazy energy, we're being defensive, we're not in control of ourselves. So then this kind of just causes more escalation. Then it's like you're stuck in an echo chamber of just pure chaos and destruction. Like, you know, and like that's kind of how things work. I mean, obviously most social things don't go that drastic, but I'm talking about, you know, worst case, you know, even a worst case scenario, you know, again, keeping that in mind, you know, yeah, it can be really hard, you know, if we're reacting to things, but when we are calm and we're able to keep ourselves in check, that is when we are able to keep things from escalating, right? You know, we're able to, so, you know, take a deep breath, step in yourself and practice that. Maybe practice in the mirror if you really want to, or practice talking in your head if you're somebody that needs to do that. If that's something that you personally need to do, okay, do it, fine. Like, just practice with yourself how to stand up for yourself if you have to. Like, do what you got to do. Like, I don't know. And I know that that might sound weird and crazy to some people, and some people that might help them. And or maybe it's something you already have to do to practice social things, do that, you know, do what you got to do. You know, rehearse things in your head, you know, become comfortable hearing yourself, stand up for yourself if that's something you have to do, you know, find whatever safe place that is. But when we are feel strong, confident in ourselves, that's when we're able to handle things logically, rationally, reasonably. That is when we are able to not allow things to escalate. But at the same time, when we're also the other side of not being strong and confident within ourselves, is that that's when we can end up wronging ourselves, allowing ourselves to be wronged and hurt and mistreated. And the thing is we end up wronging other people. You know, the people who don't get wronged from people pleasing are the people who wanted to manipulate us in the first place, or the people who genuinely wanted to hurt us. But the people that genuinely love us and care about us and support us, they do get hurt by our people pleasing because they never wanted us to suffer like that. And that isn't to put the blame or guilt on you, but if you're somebody that is really struggling to let go of people pleasing, sometimes it really helps to realize that you're doing better for yourself, your relationship, and the people you love by being open and honest and by being able to be true to who you are. Because even if it makes things peaceful or well, and this is something I really had to learn for myself, and as long as, you know, you might think it's helping, it's keeping the peace, it's making things better, but it's not. It's not. Because all you're doing is hurting yourself, and that in that, and then you're going to end up having your own frustrations, your own feelings of resentment, your own feelings of pain, your own feelings of hurt. And eventually those are going to come out, and it's going to suck. And you have to realize your own role in the situation, and it sucks, especially when this person was never trying to hurt you. But at the same time, this also does hurt that person when they feel like they never got to know you or there, you know, and it is a hard thing to realize. It is a hard thing to learn. It's a hard thing to reflect on. It's a hard thing to learn how to navigate. It's a hard thing to learn to know, okay, well, how do I start being myself? You know, but the thing is people-pleasing is something that just hurts us, and it hurts others, that people that care about us. The only people that actually benefit from people-pleasing are people that wanted to manipulate us, harm us, and abuse us. And I would say, yeah, the people that we should have in our life and the people whose opinion we should care about are people who are not going to be doing those things. And when you people-please to people who are like that, you end up even more hurt and often traumatized than it, you would have with, you know, being a people pleaser to people that love and accept you, right? So, you know, definitely be safe. Just do your best to be aware. But barefooting does help being more aware of your surroundings. And if you're someone like me with ADHD and autism, it does help your brain think more clearly and so to process things more clearly. It definitely does so as well with my fibromyalgia. I just sometimes say fibro for short. But, you know, it's really it's just really important to have compassion with ourselves and have compassion with others. And you're not doing anything wrong by listening to yourself and listening to your body and doing what's best for you. And I will definitely say that barefooting definitely plays a role in healing with trauma, for sure. It definitely plays a role. And it definitely helps you feel more grounded and in control of your body and here and present and safe in your body. And now, I will be honest, of course, it's not a one-size-fits-all experience or journey. So, you know, if people may have, and there are people that may have triggers associated with trauma around being barefoot even. So, you know, I do be respectful. There are people who, you know, if they were barefoot in a situation, there's so many different things where that may be do the opposite effect for someone else, you know, with their body. People also have sensory issues, right? So there, of course, it is not a one-size-fits-all experience, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to help everyone with trauma or be something that is, that something that everyone with trauma is able to do. You know, if that's an issue for somebody, I, you know, definitely recommend, you know, finding other ways to ground. You know, sometimes just sitting on the grass, just your body touching the earth in other ways is really helpful to ground. You know, hug a tree. You know, sometimes just like touch a tree and do some breathing exercises. You know, something you can do barefoot or with shoes on, you know. You know, you can sit in the grass, whatever. And so, like, you know, it is important for us to be respectful of each other's bodies, each other's experiences. But if you are somebody that, you know, barefooting is going to help, like, it'll definitely help you with that. So I would definitely try it. You might be one of those people, but is it a cure-all, like, this magic cure? No. It is not a magic cure. It is a coping mechanism. It is a tool. It is a coping technique. It is, that's what it is. It's something to, you know, have in your life to help you cope, to help you just work through stuff, be part of your body. You know, it's a tool, it's a coping mechanism. It is not a magic cure. But within coping mechanisms, there is a source of healing. And barefooting is definitely healing. I will say that it is healing. But is it a magic cure? Is it a cure? No. But, you know, in the ways that it helps regulate, that it helps with the body, it can definitely be a healing thing. You know, versus wearing shoes. But again, that's not saying that it's going to cure you. And, you know, again, the abilities of barefooting with healing is about what your body is capable of, right? It's a natural way of engaging with your body. And so it is a part of what your body is capable of with this natural coping mechanism. And so again, you know, it's not going to, you know, so different people may have different experiences in their healing with barefooting. Some people may have much better results. Some people may not have as good a results. But the more you do something in regards of actually listening to your body, it's going to help you. So the more you do barefooting in a way that is actually listening to your body, barefooting in a way that you actually need to barefoot, the more it's going to help you. But if you're barefooting because you get in your head, oh, I need to, and say it's causing you harm at times, you're not helping yourself, okay, if it's actually causing harm, okay? Now, sometimes it's like, oh, you might step on stuff, and it's like, okay, that kind of hurts, okay, like it's whatever, and it's a part of like building up, you know, those calluses, whatever. But if it's something that's causing actual harm to you, like harm, then don't do it, you know, don't do it. It's not helping you. It's going to hurt you more in the long run. So listen to your body. But the more that you do things that are, you know, coping mechanisms and tools that, you know, help you and are in a way that listening to your body, your mind, the different facets of self, the more it is going to help in your healing. But again, you know, when it comes to, you know, physical disabilities, this is not a one-size-fits-all experience or journey. And different people are going to see different progress. But I will say the longer you do it, the better it is. Even when I have to take breaks in the winter, you know, or if I have times where for some reason sometimes I just don't feel safe and I might need to have something on my feet. Like, it's hard to explain. And that's my own thing. And so that in my body and my experiences. And So that can be, you know, so there's so many different things. Whatever it is, listen to your body, listen to yourself. It's not a one-size-fits-all experience. Sometimes people need to put shoes on to feel safer. Some people need time, people need to take their shoes off to feel safer. And it's, some people need to be barefoot to feel safer. Some people are like, I can't be barefoot and feel safe. And that's okay. We all have our own experiences. But also, this can change from moment to moment. This can change from day to day. This can change from experience to experience. You know, this can change from what's going on in your mental and internal reality from moment to moment. You know, whatever lens you're seeing your life through, that can change what, how you experience and engage with your reality, the physical reality around you. And it's a journey. And I know it probably sounds crazy, I keep saying that, but, like, it is. So do not compare your journey to anyone. And there's really no point in it. We're all individual people, but understand that what the importance of, you know, community and the importance of Barefoot is Legal, it's about finding the ways in which we're similar, which is, you know, barefooting plays a crucial role for us. And rather than, and I think it's hard because our society is so structured around comparing in such harmful ways, but instead, you know, finding the ways in which we are coming together in the ways in which we understand each other, you know, finding the similarities, coming together within that, and finding new ways where we can add a new sense of understanding to barefooting and the experience and the benefits of it, the lifestyle around it, the aspects of it, and have our own different experiences as people. And so I definitely encourage love and respect within the barefooting community, within, you know, the Facebook community, that Barefoot is Legal on Facebook and any other platform. I just encourage love and empathy and sympathy, you know, whatever you call it, support. Just be loving towards each other and have kindness. And that doesn't mean that you always have to like someone or agree with someone or want to do or be exactly like whatever this person is. It just simply means choosing kindness and choosing compassion, you know, like just choosing, oh, sorry, I was trying to grab my charger remote. So there we go. You know, just choosing understanding with each other in a world where we could easily choose to feed into toxicity, negativity, and it can be really hard. It can be really hard because I think a lot of us, you know, we're it's really hard not to become obsessed over, you know, the ways in which we're the same and different in people, because it's hard to feel safe when you feel like you don't belong anywhere. It's hard to feel safe when you feel so different. It's hard when you can spend all this time trying to look for people to just really understand you because you don't feel safe or confident in your experience of just being who you are and being different. And even within the barefooting community, we're all going to be different. We're all different people. And whatever your differences are, you know, just learn to love and accept them, you know. And be like, and I know that's like way easier said than done, but I, you know, at least want to put out encouragement of, you know, learning to love and accept them, because it can be, because it is so hard to be able to do that. But when, you know, there is encouragement out there of doing it, it does help. You know, whether it be your mental health issues, your physical health issues, trauma, just different difficulties in your life, just know that you are still worthy of love and support, and you still deserve to take care of yourself. You still deserve to take care of your body. You deserve to rest. You deserve to eat. You deserve to do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. Drink water, you know, do whatever you need to take care of yourself. Just know that it's going to be okay. Just believe in yourself. Okay. And it's a lot easier to deal with conflict and, you know, pushback and any kind of discrimination or just negative opinions and attitudes when we just take the time to ground ourselves and know that, you know, this is our right to barefoot. It is our legal right to barefoot. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. It is our legal right to be able to barefoot if that's what we want to do. It is our right as humans to barefoot if we want to. We have that right over our autonomy and our bodies to barefoot if we want to. We have that right to safety if barefooting is something that makes us feel safe. You have those rights, and you deserve to feel like you have those rights. And it can be very frustrating, especially if you grew up in a situation or of some kind where you weren't allowed to express your rights or were taught you weren't even allowed to have rights for whatever reason. I don't know. And it's important for you to know that you deserve to have rights as a person, as a human being. You deserve to take care of yourself. You deserve to take care of your mental health, your physical health. You deserve to take care of your spiritual health and to connect with your cultural and heritage identities however you need to. And, you know, if barefooting is something that helps you, you know, you have that right. So I encourage that. You know, people just take the time to love themselves and encourage you guys to just live true to your best barefooting lifestyle, whatever reason that may be. There's so many reasons in which people barefoot, and there is so much beauty within taking care of yourself. There's so much beauty within the spiritual reasons why people barefoot. There's beauty within the cultural heritage reasons why people barefoot. And there's beauty in the human experience. And we need to just love and have empathy with each other. Remember that there are no laws or health codes against going into any public space barefoot or driving barefoot. So those are your rights. Stand up for yourself and just do your best to stay calm, okay? I will probably get into it next week. Hang on, what's going on? Next week, I know I do have a couple weddings that I have to go to this month. So I'm not 100% sure on showing up or hosting like I usually do. So I'm hoping that Audrey will be here to host for that. But I believe next week I should be good to still host next Saturday. Yeah, just wanted to, I guess, throw that out there. But I will probably add wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the concert experience that I had. I was able to barefoot fully. This is the first concert venture I'd been able to, like, barefoot fully. Like, I didn't even have my shoes on when I was out the door. And I did have a screenshot of the card, ADA card, that I got from the website, barefootislegal.org. Again, if you go to barefootislegal.org and you go under laws or education, if you hover like a little mouse clicker thing over either section, again, laws or education, and this is in the menu bar at barefootislegal.org. There will be like a little tab that comes up under either section. Hover over it, go to downloads, and it'll see like health department, ADA card, state civil rights card, barefooting driving laws, and so you'll get some more information on that. So I definitely recommend that, but there you can see the ADA card, and I actually had it printed out I wasn't able to get printed out, though. I was able to have it on my phone, and honestly, it just makes more sense probably to be able to have it on my phone anyway, because it's like I can pull it up. But I would definitely recommend putting it, if you have a screenshot of it on your phone, I would definitely recommend putting it in a folder and putting on some kind of label of it, like you put ADA. I would just put like ADA barefoot card, you know, so that way you have it in a folder where you can search it up in your phone and be able to find it quickly. So that way if you need it in case of an event, instead of having to scroll through your phone, go through pictures, or having to retake the screenshot every time, and I cropped it, so all you have available is the card. But, you know, if you are somebody with a chronic illness, disability, or some kind of medical reason, health issue, why you need a barefoot, this ADA card is available to show, you know, the law that, you know, it is law that they have to make some kind of reasonable accommodations for your accessibility. And so I ended up not actually having to use the card, which was good. But it can definitely be very nerve-wracking. So I definitely would recommend it, you know, doing what you can. Most other concerts I've been to, I've had shoes on when I've gone inside, and then I've taken them off, especially since we had to park further out. It'd be a whole thing, and especially with just, like, my mobility, it would just be harder for me to be able to just get in the building with shoes on, take them off when I get to my seat. And then I usually, at any other concert venture, I haven't had any issues when I've taken them off. Once I've taken my shoes off, there have been no issues. Personally, and again, if you do have the ADA card available, even if you wear shoes into the door and if you need it, or again, having the state civil rights card available, I would definitely recommend having those on your phone, putting them in a folder. Even if you have more than one card, you know, or you have more than one documentation, maybe put, you know, Barefoot is Legal or BIO is a folder name, or Barefoot Doc or Barefoot, you know, something like that. Something that's going to, is going to help you be able to search it up quickly, that you're going to remember. You can find these, whatever document proof that you have on your phone that you can use, so you don't have any issues, especially if there is an issue of discrimination, you can handle it better. If that helps you feel more equipped, more confident, hopefully, then I definitely recommend doing that. Or you can also print these out and have a physical copy as well. You can download them, have a digital copy. And that is at barefootislegal.org. I definitely recommend checking it out if you are interested in that, if that's something that you need. There are no laws or health codes against being barefoot in public spaces. You're not breaking any laws driving barefoot either. Unfortunately, people have these misconceptions, and I understand that a lot of it is rooted in fear and misinformation, and I get it. There are a lot of reasons in which people should, you know, be concerned still around barefooting. I get it. Barefooting is not something that you're able to do in every single life circumstance or situation. There are a lot of environments in which it is dangerous to barefoot, but that's because there are dangers present in those environments, not because barefooting itself is dangerous. You know, it's about your environment. It's about safety risks. You know, there are a lot of jobs in which people can't barefoot and probably could not be done barefoot because of safety reasons. And I say probably not, because I think of, like, you know, we could try to come up with some perfect solution in which it'd be possible for people to barefoot with all, it just probably wouldn't, you know, with certain things, even if we had more technology. You know, it could still potentially be a risk given our current, you know, level of technology and things like that. I don't know. I could just be talking out my butt. I don't know. I'm rambling. We got about 3 minutes left here. But, you know, there are situations in which it is going to be unsafe for people to be barefoot because the environment has threats to our safety that are present. So just do whatever you can to listen to your body and take care of yourself. But, you know, but I think that also comes with understanding that certain environments, it's just not safe to barefoot in. So you have to do what you have to do. But, you know, at the same time, there are a lot of environments in which it is completely safe to barefoot, and there's still a lot of stigma around it, which is frustrating. It's and it is harmful, and it's limiting. You know, barefooting is – we got our 90-second warning. I'm going to say real quick, you know, barefooting is an issue of accessibility and accommodation issues and rights for people with different disabilities, chronic illnesses, and health issues, whether that be due to physical health or mental health. Now, barefooting, of course, is not a one-size-fits-all journey. There are a lot of reasons in which why people barefoot, and you are entitled to your reasons to why you barefoot. As long as you are not causing harm to yourself or anyone else, like actual damage and harm, keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. You do you. It is a journey. It is a practice. So, you know, just take your time, but keep living your best barefoot lifestyle. And you've got this. Bye, guys. We'll see you next week here at Barefoot is Legal Radio. Check us out at barefootislegal.org and on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.